If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You know, I don't think they're looking to fire him right now. I think they like this setup. As long as if all goes well this season, Nick will get even more comfortable with the situation.
Oh, and we have Damo checking in. Yeah. So let's go to Damo actually before I get that question up there. Damo, ready to join us now. Dama, what's going on, man?
There he is.
Sorry, I was cutting the grass.
No worries.
No worries. I appreciate you jumping in. Yeah. I did not. Normally, I send Dama the reminder text, and evidently, I did. It's a big week. It was a long week for me, Dama. Mini camp, pajama day after day after day. So I apologize for that, but glad to see you. Glad to see you're doing okay. After some sinus stuff. So good to have Paul Domowicz here. I guess Jalen Hurts, the big news is him coming out with sort of a stream of consciousness. Wasn't a great spring for the offense, which is learning a completely new offense as we basically got from Jalen, which I think is a good thing, Domo, from my perspective, because I never liked the thought of, oh, let's hire Kellen Moore, but Kellen Moore, you have to do this, this, and this. I think it should be his offense if you're going to go down that route. So I took that as a positive, even though the offense has struggled. Your take on that?
Yeah, absolutely. You don't bring him in here and make him fit, a square peg into a round hole. You bring him in here because he's got an offense that intrigues you and is going to be different than the one you ran last year and struggled at times. So, and plus, I think it keeps Jalen on his toes. I mean, Jalen's actually probably played his best when he's had to learn new offenses, which he's had to do most of his career. So it's not like it's going to be, he's going to struggle from that respect. And Kellen's smart enough to know, he's looking to see, he's using this spring to find out what Jalen is most comfortable with, what he does best, and kind of accentuate that like any good offensive coach would with a quarterback.
Yep, I agree. Dama, what does this mean for you about Nick Sirianni? John and I kicked it around a little bit in the opening segment. I think it's not a bad thing, but I think the outside perspective is naturally he was hired as the, you know, he was originally the play caller. Then he gives that up. Then it's his offense with Brian Johnson. Now it's completely Kellen Moore's offense, admittedly. What do you think? What do you think that means for Nick Sirianni, if anything at all?
Well, I mean, job security wise, obviously he's not as secure as he was a year ago at this time because, you know, that is one less major responsibility. Unfortunately, the Eagles they hire coaches a lot of times because of their offensive prowess and their offensive history, which isn't a good way to hire a coach. But it's worked for them. I mean, they want to, you know, I mean, if he's okay with it and he seems to be, I think it's good. I mean, we've talked about this before with, you know, a CEO coach is a good thing. It's probably the best way to do things. If you've got a coach that is comfortable in that role and an organization that's comfortable in him with him in that role. And I don't think they're looking to fire him right now. I think they like this setup. As long as if all goes well this season, Nick will get even more comfortable with the situation. You know, he's never been involved with the defense. He's not directly involved with either one. Although I assume he's going to be, you know, you're going to see him in a lot of, we're not going to see him, but he's going to be in most of the offensive meetings. He's going to have input into the game plan. I mean, this isn't like, you know, call me on Friday and tell me what we're doing on Sunday. He's going to be involved. It just gives him more time, I think, on game day, especially to kind of look at the big picture. And I think that's good.
Yeah. Just a real quick follow up on that, Domo, because I do agree with, you know, as you and John both point out that you like the CEO style coaches. They work well in the NFL and it gives the ability to oversee everything, the clock management. You think Jeffrey Lurie's okay with that? Because he technically wasn't really hired to be that. Maybe he doesn't mind. Maybe he is perfectly okay with Nick's role evolving into what it has. But that's technically not what he was hired for. What do you make of that?
Well, like I said, that's one reason I think, you know, if you want to look at a downside for Nick, it's that he's a little closer to unemployment because if they don't win, that's when, you know, Jeffrey's asking, why is he here? We can get rid of him. We're still okay. Jeffrey is typically, you know, going back to Andy Reid, they've hired people on the basis of their offensive prowess as far as play calling. They liked Andy Reid as a, big picture guy too as well. And that's kind of what he evolved into eventually. But, you know, they're more comfortable when the head coach is calling the plays. They just – clearly felt it wasn't working last year at the end. So, I like Kellen Moore. I think he'll do a good job. The only thing that could torpedo this is if Kellen and Nick, for some reason, have awful chemistry. I mean, you guys are closer to it than I am down there. I mean, John, do they seem to be getting along?
Well, the offense was terrible in mini camp. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I mean, to the point where there's a lot of people so hyped up on the Eagles defense because they were so good.
Right.
And you know, Damo, the defense is generally always ahead of the offense early, even in a typical year. But there's so much talent on the Eagles offense. You'd expect a couple splash plays here and there. And nobody's going to be talking about June and July, never mind September. So to me, it doesn't mean that much, but you can only talk about what you saw, and it wasn't great. And there was a bunch of uncertainty from all the quarterbacks, not just Jalen Hurts. You could see guys are struggling to learn the new system a little bit. And none of that, I think, is a bad thing. But yeah, I think it's way too early. I do think Jalen went off on a – because I was the one who asked him the question when he said the 95%. And I asked him about – last time we talked to him, Dama, we talked about being a sponge. He was in learning mode. So I basically said, are you past that? Are you trying to take – you know, put your stamp on this offense, becoming more vocal about what you like? And rare Jalen, he went off on a – stream of consciousness, and that to me tells you know Jalen.
Yeah,
he doesn't say stuff he doesn't want out there, so he wanted to make it very clear that this is a completely new offense. There's going to be growing pains, and I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. I think that's, it helps explain the struggles of the spring, because the fan base sees AJ Brown, Devontae Smith, Saquon Barkley, and Dallas Goedert and expects the greatest show on turf.
Yeah.
And I think there's going to be some hiccups early.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, that's why, you know, it just, you know, over the course of my career, it would drive me nuts when some reporters would be like charting, you know, completions and stuff during sevens in the spring. I mean, especially if it's a new offense. I mean,
get
all that, you know, this is when you want these guys to get all the bad stuff out to, you know, to kind of get a feel for this offense. You know, they're playing like this in October, you know, then there are major concerns. Yeah. But
Well, there's training camp stats or mini camp stats or even worse. Yeah. I mean, if you're doing red zone work and have a bunch of touchdowns, oh, great. On 7-on-7s, who cares? I mean, so I agree with you with the stat stuff, but it hasn't been pretty. No. And sometimes you wonder what they're trying to accomplish. They seem to be throwing a lot underneath. I've never seen a team, you know, when 7-on-7s, you know, Damo, the ball's got to come out. To me, if it doesn't come out, it's a wasted rep.
Yeah.
And there's way too much holding of the football. And it's like, I don't know. It wasn't pretty, but I don't think it matters because they're trying to sort through this new offense.
Yeah.
And well,
get used to the throwing underneath. Cause I mean, I they're going to mix it up as opposed to last year when we talked ad nauseum about their obsession with throwing deep.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to make teams think you're going to throw underneath if you're going to be more successful with the deep ball. The only thing I took out of yesterday, when did Nick talk? 2 days ago, 3 days ago?
And yesterday.
So mentioned
day
a couple
one, day three.
About two running back looks.
He did. Yeah, you've seen it.
You know, they're going to, I mean, they've got two running backs that can be, you know, you can line them up in the backfield, but they're essentially a wide receiver. With Gainwell and Barkley. And so, I mean, I think we're going to see a lot of that in this offense. I mean, last year, I think the last 2 years, and I chart the personnel groupings, as you know, they might have ran half dozen two running back looks in a season at most. Man. You know, you're going to see that number go up near 100 this year.
Damo, you've been around the NFL for a long time. What do you make of this James Bradbury situation? It's obvious they want to move on from him. They move him to safety. They give us the whole spiel. Just what's your perspective on that?
Yeah, I would never compare him to Charles Woodson.
I was like, whoa.
Yeah, they're clearly looking to dump him, and they're looking for every possible way. If they end up somehow keeping him, which I doubt, maybe he can serve a purpose as a safety. But if they can't, maybe by working him out at safety, you're putting that thought in other teams' heads that, hey, that's another way we can use him and becomes more valuable. Let's trade for him.
Yeah, that's what I think their hope is.
That's the most obvious thing of like, oh, maybe we'll increase his value. I don't think it does that at all. He's a 30-year-old zone corner. He's not a very physical corner either, by the way. You need
physicality. Well, that's why you bring up Charles Woodson, and you hope there's one idiot out there, Damo, who says, maybe he could be Charles Woodson.
Yeah, no.
Howie will never give up on the possibility of getting a seventh-round pick for a guy.
Yeah. I pretty consistently that I don't know if the juice is worth the squeeze there because A, I think you want to do right by the player who did a lot of good things for you.
Yeah.
And B, all right. So you got a seventh round pick. You don't have to be Sam Hankey. You don't have to win every trade at all costs, like you're charging the hill. Yeah. Sometimes they have so many young corners, Damo. That's what And
the future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew.
Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
We talk about the negative of the offense. The defense looks way ahead of where now. And I'll bring them both together. There's no play action. Kellen Moore loves play action. There's no threat of Saquon Barkley running the football. So, you know, Devin White and Zach Bond are out there. They know a pass is coming. Everybody's jumping routes. So you have to put all that context in there.
Yeah.
But even with that, those young corners, and I'm including Kaylee Ringo and Isaiah Rogers as well, they look good.
Yeah.
Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, Kaylee, Isaiah Rogers. I mean, they look very good. There's going to be hiccups when the pads come on. I know one of the negatives with Rogers in Indianapolis, he wasn't the best in run support, a lot of missed tackles. So we'll see some of that stuff. But yeah, I mean, one of them's got to hit. That's how I look at it. You got four darts, yeah. You got to hit one.
Yeah. And it still comes down defensively to that pass rush. You know, well, I'm heartened to hear that Jordan Davis is drinking low-cal juice.
Yeah, man. No more Arizonas.
I mean, I loved it where he said, well, I found this new juice at Whole Foods. It's only got 90 calories. I mean, have you ever heard of like sugar
water? Fruit? Yeah. Well,
it's got zero. Yeah. But anyway, you know, he said this last year, lot of that same stuff about being in great shape, learning the feel for the NFL and knowing what it takes. And he played okay for half the season. So we'll see. He and Jalen Carter are going to be, you know, they're the straw that stirs that drink defensively. I mean,
yeah, by the way, Ted Rath may have lost his job because of Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter. I mean, let's blame Kirby Smart. What are we blaming poor Ted Rath for? They weren't ready coming in from Georgia from a conditioning standpoint. Yeah, I think that was a bit of an overreaction, if that's the case. And I don't know that's the reason they moved on from Ted, but some have thrown out that speculation. So they did make some changes in football ops, scouting, you know, how they typically do it. Not a lot of change, though, mostly promotions. I loved Bryce Johnston, who's essentially taken over for Jake Rosenberg, who left the organization. This is my favorite one, Dama. Senior vice president, tertiary football executive. I want to give Howie a hand clap for that, which means third in charge for those who don't know what tertiary. I'm sure Dama understands. It means third in charge. I don't know who's second. I'm trying to figure out who's second on the football ops side is. Am I missing somebody?
Well, but I digress. He's a player personnel, right?
Yeah, but that's scouting. They split that up.
Yeah, football. Yeah.
So I guess, and the assistant GMs, I don't know where they go, Alec Calabi and John Ferrari. So interesting there. And then Dom. So they're problem solving with Dom. They're not worried about anything other than don't suspend him. So they give him a new title. He's senior advisor to the GM. That stays. Chief security officer, that stays. He's now game day coaching operations as well. So they can't kick him off the sidelines.
That I was wondering if that allows him to get into a fight with a linebacker.
Well, it's before he wasn't supposed to be on the sidelines in theory. Now he's supposed to be. He probably would have gotten suspended anyway, but maybe for just a game as opposed to. Yeah, I would not recommend a Dom to keep swinging at players, but.
All I know is if somebody's writing a 20-inch story on Dom this year, it's going to take 18 of those inches to describe.
Get his titles. Yeah. Now, I love the titles. I love Howie's titles. I love them. It's one of the underrated parts.
Ask you this, John, because I saw the changes in the medical titles. Are there any significant – do they mean anything? Has there been anybody
– Well, Ted left. Ted's gone.
Right.
Ted Rath is gone. So he was second in command to Fernando Noriega, who's the head of So his title's director of player performance, sports science, head strength and conditioning coach. Yeah. And then Ted was underneath him.
Yeah.
And they didn't replace Ted. So I don't, maybe Fernando's just taking on a bigger role. But no, nothing major from that perspective.
Right.
And they didn't have any change at all. They hired three new people, but lower levels. Duke Tobin, who I assume is that Duke Tobin's kid? I don't even know. I haven't asked. I assume. Yeah,
it's Junior. Yeah. It's the kid. Yeah.
Well, I know it's not Duke. That'd be a pull to get Duke Tobin as a scouting assistant. That would be quite cool.
When I first saw that, I thought, did he get fired? Cincinnati does not fire anybody.
Well, yeah, but they don't fire anybody because they don't want to hire anybody else. But also, if he did get fired, obviously he would be, because they always, that's what I always look for. They bring in, you know, the Dave Caldwells of the world, who's still here, the Matt Russells of the world, and they give them that senior personnel title, whatever.
Yeah.
And then if Duke Senior would be fired, yeah, that's a guy the Eagles would try to bring in. He's great, Duke Tobin. He's got a staff. Howie's got a staff of like 40.
Yeah.
Duke's got a staff of like 6. The Bengals are good.
One of the things that I've been impressed with Howie as far as his evolution over the last several years has been his, you know, early on, he didn't listen to, I mean, basically because he was shunned by most veteran scouts and personnel people early on, who viewed him as a numbers guy who didn't
know. Yeah. Not a football guy, yeah.
You know, well, over the last several years, he's been willing to bring in veteran guys, going back to Donahue, you know, when he brought him in. I mean, he's willing to listen to these old heads and use them as a sounding board. And that's a positive. I mean, that's a very big positive for a guy that was not like that when he started his career as a personnel guy.
I think that's one of the biggest positives of Howie Roseman as a whole, is his ability to learn from whatever it might be, just what you just said, or drafting, or whatever it is. I think he really does do a good job at correcting his mistakes. And it's not easy to do that always. It takes tremendous pride and all those things. And he does a great job. Dama, I want to end it on Hall of Fame for me. Fletcher Cox has been on my mind a lot. Do you view him as a potential Hall of Fame player? I think he's an Eagles Hall of Famer. Yeah. But is he a pro football Hall of Famer?
No doubt, Eagles Hall of Famer.
Yeah. You know, there's a Hall of Good and a Hall of Great. The Hall of Great, obviously, is the Hall of Fame. Fletcher's like, I mean, knocking on the door, I guess. But I don't view him as a guy that's going to be a Hall of Fame contender anytime soon. He's had a great career. You know, like you said, he's an all-time Eagle. Do I consider him a guy that's going to make the Hall of Fame? Probably not.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. Hall of Great. I just, the Eagle and they wanted to once.
Yeah, I differ. I'm a Fletch as a Hall of Famer. I agree with Tom. It's going to take a while. It's not going to be a slam dunk.
Eric Allen has been a finalist.
Yeah. I think Eric's eventually going to be a Hall of Famer.
He's got 2 years left as a modern era candidate. So, that, you know, I've been pushing these guys for, while now, that to understand that the clock's ticking. You know, they got Sam Mills in his 20th and last year as a modern era candidate. You guys know Eric Allen is one of the greatest cornerbacks of his generation. He should have been in the Hall of Fame a long time ago, and he needs to go in. He'll be the next Eagle.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I guess it might hurt Fletch too. Well, Aaron Donald's going to be a first ballot first year, but they'd retire.
They might build a wing for Aaron.
Yeah.
Defensive tackle is tough too.
Yeah, that's what I mean. There's another defensive tackle. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they're all tough, and it should be tough.
I agree. It's the Hall of Fame, like you said, not the Hall of Great or Hall of Good.
I met Mick Tinglehoff when I was out in Minnesota. He eventually went in as a seniors candidate. Took him forever. Paul Krause, another guy I met, a great guy, mayor of Lakeville, Minnesota at one point.
Once you fall into that senior abyss, I mean, you may never get out. I mean, that's why it's, you know, if you're going to make the Hall of Fame, you try to do it, you know, while you're a modern era
king. Yeah.
They only give you 20 years.
And also because you just saw one of the greatest guards of all time, rest in peace, Larry Allen, recently passed away. A lot of times you want these guys to, you know, enjoy it and be around when they get selected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Real quick, before you do, and at P. Damo, make sure you follow Damo on X and Twitter. Boy, Larry Allen, that guy was just unbelievable. That was, you know, because I got to cover Randall McDaniel, who's another one of those guys who was just unbelievable as an offensive lineman. But Larry Allen, you ever seen a better guard than Larry Allen, Dama?
He's the best one I've ever seen. I mean, it was just so good. And spoke so few words. He was
very intimidating. Yes.
Yeah. No, he was as good as they came.
Yeah. Paul Domowitz at P Domo, as I said, follow him on X and Twitter, does a tremendous job for us. We're lucky enough to have him most Fridays. And thanks. I apologize for not sending you the reminder text. I will do so next week. Thanks, Damo.
Get back to that lawn, Damo. That lawn is calling you.
I know. Take care, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, bud. Damo.
There's Paul Domowitz joining us. Good stuff from P. Damo there. We're going to take a commercial break. Coming up at 9:20 East AM Eastern, we have Andrew DiCecco, who is down there as well. He does great work for Inside the Birds. Does good work on 97.5 The Fanatic as well. But I have a question for John. When we come back, before we get to DiCecco, and I don't think many fans are going to like it, but I got to be honest, it's been on my mind, and it's something I'll ask Johnny Mac next, see what he thinks about it. He might shut me down quick, and I'm all right with that. We'll do that next on Birds 365.
If you missed any of today's show on the Jacob Media channel, listen to the podcast on your way home. Available on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify.